Good to be here this morning as we're here to study the Word of God. And appreciate Victor leading the song service, and the prayer should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now this is part three of the sermon, The Two Paths. Part three, The Two Paths, The Path of the Wicked and the Path of Wisdom. That's what we'll be going to be looking at. I want to go back and read. I didn't read some of these scriptures in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 20 down at the end of the chapter, and then I want to go back to verse 18. But right now, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, Solomon giving instructions, let wisdom guard your heart. That's what we need to do. We need to let wisdom guard our hearts. He's talking to the sons, but I think also this applies to daughters too. I believe he's talking to the sons because by sons going to eventually be leaders, and we are the male figure as the leadership. He's going to address it to us. But I think also it can apply to females as well. It can apply to anyone. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So he's saying that let's keep our eyes on what is good, things, so our end will be good. Whatever we're dealing with and continue to deal with, that's going to be our end. Proverbs chapter 4, and now verse 22. Proverbs chapter 4, now verse 22. For they are life, talking about the word of God, this wisdom. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So I do know, and we know, that God's word, when obeyed, will bring us peace, peace of mind. I think whatever we're going through with, if we follow the word, we're going to eventually have that peace of mind. I know we can go through some storms and it can rock and roll, but by staying with God, things still going to be better for us. Because if we leave him, it won't be better for us. It's going to be worse for us. And so it brings good health to the flesh. It just brings peace and happiness and joy and contentment. I believe when we stay close to God, it brings contentment. If we really stay close to him. But look at verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So we want to keep our minds on God. We want to keep our minds working hard for God. When we keep our minds working hard for God, out of it's going to be good things. Remember Proverbs 23 and verse 7, Solomon said, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So we're going to become what we think the most. And so we know that what we see, hear, and read will determine the heart. And of course, we know that God wants us to have a pure and a clean heart. And that's why he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Working hard for the world, worldliness, but working hard for the Lord. For out of it springs the issues of life. And then Solomon talks about, let wisdom guard your tongue. Let wisdom guard your tongue. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So that's something that we all have to consider and make sure that we bridle our tongues and bridle our what we say and how we say it, and even how we say it, we have to even watch that. Could be right about something, but we have to really watch how we say it. I remember back working when I was in secular work, the boss had a new employee, and the boss wanted him to do something. And of course, the new employee was talking to me about it. He said, "I just didn't like the way he said that." I said, "Well, he's out of way. I agree with you." But he's out of way. And he didn't care whether he liked it or not, but he's not a Christian. The boss wasn't. But it has something to do with how you say it. And if we want people, you know, to, what word can I use, respect us, we've got to say it in a way that's pleased, the way God would say it. How would Jesus say that? That's a good lesson. How would Jesus say it? And so we just have to be careful. And I worked around some just a bunch of roughnecks. I mean, they were rough. But I can't be the way they were. I've got to be, got to step in the light. And then he talks about, let wisdom guard your eyes. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Straight ahead. I dealt with a lot of people and had a military, well, I think I heard this on the sermon. A military man had to go get something for his own personal stuff or whatever. And where the place was, he had to go down this road, street, and it's on the other side, but there was prostitutes on both ends, on left, right, and the left side and the right side. And they were out there. In some places, they are out there. And but he needed to get his whatever he wanted, he had to go through there. He said what he did, he said stay focused right on what he was looking at, to that store or whatever. He said he didn't look to the left and he didn't look to the right. Because of the temptation. He just didn't look. And you would think there'd be a better, some other stores, but I don't know about it because I don't know where he was at. But whatever he needed, he had to go in that direction, but he said he kept his eyes straight ahead. This is what Solomon is saying here. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So that's what Solomon tells us, and we want to walk in the path of wisdom. We may have some knowledge, but we need to use that knowledge applied to wisdom. But I want you to look at verse 18. Now remember now, there's two paths. The path of wisdom and the path of the wicked. In Proverbs chapter 4 and 18, he says, but the path of the just. We know where the path of the wicked is going to lead us. But look at verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. See, the Christian's life and the path of the just are to be similar. It's the same. The Christian's life and the path of the just are to be similar. With progressive brightness and no decline, we don't want to be sliding backwards. We want to be going forward. We feel like we're sliding backwards. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. We see that. Got to hold on. And so we don't want to be declining. They don't want them sliding by. Places where we were kids, we get on this hill, and sometimes we intend to get on the hill and we'll slide down the hill. Sometimes we'll slide backwards, but we didn't want to slide. We wouldn't intend to slide backwards. And if you don't intend to slide backwards, don't get on the hill, because you might slide backwards. Hope you can use that. But we don't want to go backwards, we want to go forward. How can we ensure that such would be the case in our walk with Christ? Well, we're going to have to stay focused. Stay focused on the heavenly home, because we don't want to miss heaven. We have to stay on the right path. And we study enough, we have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. We know when we're on the right path. And when we're not on the right path, we know that if we study the Word of God. Making life with Christ progressively brighter. That's what we want to do. We want to make life with Christ, and we want to be brighter. We want to let that light shine. And that's what God wants us to do. The song that we sing, Stepping in the Light, beautiful song. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior and let Him lead us. Sometimes we want to lead, and we don't do well with that, but we want Him to lead. Jesus is our light. He's our light. He is indeed the light of the world. Now, we're going to be going to the New Testament, John 8 and 12. I won't keep you long. John chapter 8 and verse 12. We'll see what Jesus has to say about this. And these steps and walking in the light are simple. They're not really hard to understand. But yet we have to deal with our flesh. And sometimes it can be difficult, but we've got to get that together. In John 8 and verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world, John chapter 8 and 12. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Look at that. But have the light of life. See, walking in the light means to conduct oneself according to the teachings of Jesus. That's what it means to walk in the light, to conduct oneself according to the teachings that Jesus gives. And we know the story, if you remember John chapter 8 and those 1 through all those scriptures. I'm not going to be able to read all those. But if you remember, there was a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, right in the very act. Jesus was in the temple and he was teaching, and they just interrupted him and said, Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now the law says to stone her. But what do you say? And they weren't sincere about that. They didn't care about the law. They were just trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus gave the woman light, gave her light in her life. And so when those men brought, and they didn't bring the man, because the law says that you stone both, male and female. They didn't bring the man, but just the woman. Jesus wrote something on the ground. I often wonder what he wrote. Bible didn't say. And Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast a stone at her. And the Bible says they all went away one by one, beginning with the oldest. Jesus, when he raised up, and he said, where are your accusers? She said, I have none, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. In other words, he was telling her, don't let that happen again. And Jesus would forgive sins. When he was on earth, he would forgive sins. But he said, don't let that happen again. So he brought light into her life. If you look at verse 12 again, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Follow Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we're not going to walk in darkness, he tells us. We must therefore remember that our path will brighten. Not because of any radiance in ourselves, but in proportion as we draw nearer and nearer to the fountain of heavenly radiance. McLaren wrote this. But we got to draw closer and closer to heaven. We have to set our minds on things above and not things on the earth. The nearer we draw to him, the more we shall shine. The nearer we draw to him, the more we shall shine. If you look at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And I tell you what, let's look at verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. We want to draw nearer and nearer and get close and as close to Jesus, and our lives will be better. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, when we obey the new law, you are free from the old law. Have to tell our denomination of people that. When we obey the new law, we're free from the old law. We're not under the old law, we're under the new law. Look at verse 18 here. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See what he says there? We are being transformed. We are transformed as we study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study. That changes us. We get better. All believers behold the glory of the Lord in the Scripture and are transformed into the image of God. Christ is the image of God, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, glory to glory. As believers behold the glory of God in the Word of God, the Spirit of God transforms us into the likeness of Christ. That's what it does. It transforms us into the likeness of Christ. Amen and amen, I say. We draw nearer to the light through devotional use of our Bibles. It's important to spend some time in the Word. That's how we draw closer to the light. For that is how Christ reveals himself to us, is through the Word. His words and that of his inspired apostle enlighten us. The apostles wrote. Jesus taught. We read and spend some time in the Word of God, and that makes us stronger. No doubt about that. It enlightens us through diligent practice of prayer. When things get tough, pray. We need to spend time praying. That's what we need to do. For that is how we draw nearer to God in Christ. I'm going to look at Hebrews 4, which we read this before, and how we are just blessed with a high priest who understands. Sometimes people don't understand, but the high priest understands. There are those who understand, but there are some people don't understand when we go through some things. Hebrews 4 and verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We've read this before. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And of course, I want to say that our failures can teach us, you know, we can learn from our failures, and we can learn, can teach us to be stronger. But look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word mercy means compassion, love, sympathy, and forgiveness. Prayer ushers us into the throne room of God. That's why we don't need to forget to pray. We need to, sometimes we do, we forget to pray. But we don't need to do that. We need to continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Just have a time to pray. Through doing the commandments of Christ, we need to continue to pray. Prayer ushers us into the throne room of God through doing the commands of Christ, which ensures that the Father and the Son abides in us. I'm not going to turn over there, but John chapter 14, 21 and 23. The Father and the Son abides in us. Obedience brings us into a closer relationship with Christ. That's what it does. Getting close to the end. It's part three, and the third part is not that long, so we will not get done. We just extend the invitation. These are simple steps that lead us on the ever brighter path of righteousness. In conclusion, there are only two paths, only two. Just as Jesus describes two ways. One lead to destruction, Matthew chapter 7, 13. The other leads to life, to eternal life, Matthew 7, 14. Which path will you take? And you out there listening, I would encourage you to take the path that leads to heaven. One path leads to destruction. The other path leads to eternal life. The path of the just that leads to increasing brightness. The path of the wicked that leads to blinding darkness. Leads to darkness. The choice is yours. Let Jesus be your light if you want to choose the path of the just. Let Jesus be your light. We can let him be our light. Ephesians chapter 5 and 8. I'll let you find that and then we'll bring it to a close, extend the invitation. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were once darkness. He's talking to those brethren at Ephesus. At one time, they were darkness. At one time, we were darkness. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so that's what we need to do, is walk as children of light, stay in the path of wisdom, and we're going to be all right. If you're out there, you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian. After hearing that you heard the gospel, Romans 10:17, Paul tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Then you need to believe the gospel, Mark 16:16. Jesus tells us he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Have to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. He said, except you repent, you're going to perish. Everybody has to repent before baptism, and you will have to repent after baptism because sometimes we mess up. Got to repent, change our minds and action towards wrong. Got to confess Christ before man, Matthew 10:32. And then be buried with Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38. Or there may be someone out there and have gotten off of the path that leads to eternal life, and you are riding or walking on the path of wickedness. Get off. Get off. Get off of that ride. It's just like an amusement park. You want to ride, and that's the operator should know that if that ride is not safe, don't let people get on the ride. Now the devil he's gonna tell you that it's okay, but God will tell you don't get on that ride. And if you know that a ride is unsafe, why get on the ride? I knew something that was unsafe. Because I used to work out Beach Bend, I would see boats fall out of the Wild Mouse. I seen them fall out of the Wild Mouse. Boats and nuts. And I worked there. And whoever was responsible for fixing those, I think they finally, they all didn't fall out, but there was few. And once in a while, they popped right out of that Wild Mouse. People just saw that thing. They didn't know it. And we would tell the operator that's boats coming out of that thing. And then he'd have to stop it and put boats in it. Now, if you know boats you're gonna ride on a ride, when you know boats are falling out of it, why get on a path that we know gonna lead us to destruction? Let's stay on the path of righteousness. Let us stand and sing the song that has been selected. Please, God.